Moika.
Hey.
Welcome to our podcast, Mastering Finland.
I'm Jean and I'm from California.
I'm Petra and I'm from the Czech Republic.
We're here to chat about our life in Finland.
Hello, welcome back to Mastering Finland. Today I would like to welcome our guest, Katarina, who has actually been our guest before, but she has an interesting story to share today. Hello, Katarina.
Hi. Hi, Petra. Hi, everybody. Thank you for having me back. It's good to be back.
Yeah, it's good to have you back. So how have you been ever since we recorded the last episode with you? Many things happen, right?
Oh, yeah, I know. Well, I think we had this sort of like short comment session about how Corona has affected us, but we haven't talked since then.
That's true. That's true.
Yeah.
So getting to straight to the topic, what is the interesting story we are going to talk about today?
Oh, God. It's, well, I think it's probably connected with your dating episode.
A bit.
Like kind of like an, a step further. Well, I wanted to talk about how our experience with getting married in Finland was and still is. It's still in process.
Because you actually didn't get married, right?
No, we didn't manage. It's it was kind of like this story is that it's tragic but funny at the same time now that I think about it. But yeah,
I mean, I'm very proud of you for, you know, being able to laugh about it because it's such a fresh thing.
Well, now I can laugh about it. Back then, yeah, we were like majorly out of it, just completely angry and very, very disappointed, if I may say so.
Yeah. Okay, so let's get to the start. So you were supposed to get married. It was Friday, right?
Right, right.
And then,
yeah.
So when did you get to know that there is some issue and what was the issue?
So basically we had arranged to get the civil wedding done on Friday. And the problem is that we sort of arranged it so that we could both take days off work. So it was a whole process, you know, like we had to let our employers know that we're going to need these days off. And so they rearranged their whole schedules and blah, blah, blah. We invited people over. And, you know, during Corona times, there were not a lot of people, but still it was Corona. And it's still kind of difficult to travel around and move even from one part of Finland to another, especially if they're older people. For example, Alex's relatives, they're sort of on the high-risk groups. So that would mean that they had to take certain precautions. You know, it was sort of like a whole arrangement thing that we had to go through for a while. But anyway, so let's go to the problem part, to the problematic part. Me and Petra, we went together and we bought the dress and the accessories and we practiced hairstyles and blah, blah, blah. So everything was ready. Everything was set. Oh, so fun, you know.
Yeah, very ready.
Yeah.
Very ready.
So everyone is ready. Even Petra took a day off from work so she can be in the wedding too. So we were all just ready to go. But yeah, so the wedding was Friday and we had booked it like almost 2 months ago because it needed, again, all this preparation for the actual date. So we booked it. And we got a call several weeks later about the wedding impediment procedure. So they let us know that, okay, you guys need to just go online with your bank codes that sort of like certify your ID here in Finland. And that you basically have to sign online this petition, this formal declaration that you're both single and that there's no sort of obstacles that would prevent the wedding from happening. So we of course agreed, went through and did that and everything was all right. We got the green light that everything is set, you know, the application is complete, blah, blah, blah. And then it was Tuesday. So again, the wedding was Friday. And we got a call on Tuesday noon from Maistraati, so the official register office, right? So we got a call from them, and they were like, "Ha, you know what? You're not a Finnish citizen." And I said, "Yeah, I know."
What a news! I didn't know that.
Great. So they started like that. They were like, "This is concerning your wedding on Friday, and we noticed that you're not a Finnish citizen." Like, okay, sure, okay, I know that. Go on, please. So they went along and they said that. So we would like to inform you that we would need some sort of document, some sort of official document from your home country, from your government, that states your marriage status. So that was the request. So I got a little confused.
It just blows my mind every time you say that, and everyone I said that to, every time I said that to somebody, that they wanted you to state the fact that you are not married. The document. Get the document that you are not married. I mean, you have a document that you are married, right?
Exactly.
That makes sense. But like, when are you getting a document that you are not married?
Not being married. I know. I don't get it. Maybe there is some sort of similar document that is available in Finland, and that Finnish citizens can sort of like acquire it from their government. But it was my case as a foreigner that, you know, they didn't have my marriage status in their records. They had Alexis, who, by the way, my fiance, who, by the way, is half Finnish, half Greek, but they didn't sort of try to check on his marriage status, which is weird because, I mean, yeah, but it's still weird. I mean, he's a Finnish citizen, but he's a Greek citizen too. And in any case, he could have been married in Greece as well. As if they're concerned about me as a foreigner, I mean, he could easily be in the same in a similar situation as well. But that was not the case. The problem was with me and my marriage status. So they were really insistent and very very persistent in getting an official document from my government that stated this sort of like marriage status. So I was very confused at that point because I don't know how it is in the rest of the countries and especially European countries, but in Greece, we do not necessarily have such a document. So I sort of hung up on them and I called our embassy right away, and the people over there were like, you know, we don't have that sort of document. Our government doesn't issue a document that states, that states your marriage status. Because we have this sort of, I mean, I know this might sound like a bit extra or too many details, but we have this sort of document that states your family condition. So it has my mother's and my father's name, and they're sort of information, and it states that they have two children, me and my sister, and that I belong in their family, in my parents' family. So the deal in Greece is that if you get married, you're removed from your father's family and you start your own. You have your own thing going on.
That sounds so funny. Sorry. No. You are removed. You don't belong anymore.
You have your own family now. Just go away. exactly. I know. So I asked them, I called back. I actually had Alex call them back and speak in Finnish so that they would have, maybe like a better understanding. And he explained that, hey, you know what? This is the deal with Greece. This is what they can provide. They don't have a certain document that specifically declares, the marriage status of this person. We have this sort of document, though, that proves that she belongs in her father's family. Therefore,
she doesn't belong in mine.
She's not married, you know. But the lady was super confused, very confused, and very
like in a way disbelieving of that situation. She was like, how can this be? We just want a document that states she's unmarried, she's single. We don't want any other document. We just want a document that states her name, her birthday, and her marriage status. It has to say single, non-married. I don't know how they would like it. And it has to be, of course, translated either in English or Finnish. It has to be stamped from the apostille stamp. How is that? Yeah. Is that called like that? Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, something like that.
Yeah, and then it needs to be sent over by post from Greece during Corona.
I mean, I'm sorry, but how ridiculous. Didn't she think that she sounds a bit ridiculous?
I mean, I don't
when
know.
She's like, yeah. Oh, I'm concerned about your wedding on Friday. Actually, you need a paper sent from Greece.
Yeah.
And then translated and then stamped.
Exactly.
I mean, I don't seriously, know.
It was impossible.
Lady.
We were just worried sick until, I don't know, maybe Thursday morning. Because we still hope that, okay, this issue may still be resolved and that we still may go through with the wedding. Apparently it had to be the original document from the government, issued from the government, and not in any case printed or photocopied. In any case, so
just to make it a little bit easy for you.
Yeah, no, in no way, no way. And the funniest part is we managed to get the document, this sort of like family declaration status document that I mentioned earlier, and it was in electronic form. So it was online. And we were able to download it. And there is this sort of new system in Greece that there's this QR code that counts as an official stamp. So each and every individual document is certified from the government that this is an official one. So we called them back and we said, like, pretty please, can you maybe just accept this so we can go, please go on with the wedding? This is such a huge mess. Come on. And they would not in any case just accept the electronic form of the document. And this was all done. I had Alex go through with the whole thing, and he was just, by the end of it, he was really exasperated and disappointed because he really thought that it was just go through eventually, because, you know, we have this sort of idea that everything works so well here electronically and you don't have to go and stand in lines and arrange your documents, you know, with your physical presence and so on. So we were very hopeful that they would sort of like provide us with a solution just to help us out. And it didn't happen. And I feel like it was sort of like a huge disappointment for me, but even more so for Alex, because he has this really great trust towards the system and the Finnish ability to handle bureaucracy better. But, you know, being a foreigner and experiencing it firsthand, it's just that I'm so used to it that at the last moment, there's always going to be something missing, you know, just.
Isn't it true, though?
Yeah.
It has happened to me so many times. Everything looks so perfect. Oh, yeah. And I'm like, oh, yeah, this is it. I figured it out. All is sorted. Mm-hmm. And then 2 or 3 days before, they're suddenly, oh, actually, there is this thing missing. So please get it now. And you're like, how am I supposed to do it? I'm in Finland.
Exactly.
And Czech is over there. Like, it's impossible.
Mm, exactly. And I mean, I would sort of be more understanding if it had been, we would have been informed a bit earlier, like even just a couple of weeks ago, we might have been able to manage to get it in time, but that was not the case. It was just very last minute. And, unfortunately we had to postpone it. And, until the document gets here, because we managed to get this, this is the funniest bit. So I got in touch with my dad and he from Greece, and he was just trying to go through all this sort of documents provided by the government about different statuses. and he managed to get hold of a document that is about your tax declaration, your Greek tax declaration. And this document has your name and your birthday, and it states, you know, at the end, you know, non-married, I don't know, single. So, yeah, I mean, we were like, ah, maybe this would work. And then Alex mentioned it to the maestrati lady, to the official register officers, and she was like very confused. What tax document? What? I don't understand. It has to be a document that states this and this and this and this. So we were like,
I mean,
yeah.
Don't you think so that sometimes, like, they don't have a big understanding in culture differences related to, like, but, like, also the systems in different countries? I know, like, this is still EU and it should sort of work. I mean, it should work, let's be honest. Like, that's the first thing. It should be sorted out already.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think so. I mean, yeah.
That's why we are all together, right? To have it easier. But it doesn't really work. And it just surprises me because I would sort of not be surprised if it was someone from like non-EU country.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly.
And I would not be surprised because, you know, who knows? We don't have any sort of close info with these countries. But as an EU citizen, how can it become so difficult?
So difficult. And especially with translations. And I mean, do you really need a stamp already? Come on, you guys. It's 2020. Figure it out. But I told them when we spoke on the phone the original time, I actually sort of like asked, is there any way where I can formally sign that I, as an individual, I am sort of like taking their responsibility on me and signing that, you know, I am not married. Just, I promise you. But, yeah, I guess.
Yeah, now I wish I knew about some, for example, other, you know, international couples getting married in some other countries in the EU. It is so, like, such a bureaucratic experience as well.
I feel that there would be some sort of bureaucracy, of course,
probably.
And sort of trouble. It's just this thing that whenever it's an international couple and there are people and there's different nationalities involved, of course, there's going to be some sort of extra difficulty. So I feel that this is an issue that, because we originally took it very lightly, we were so sort of like calm about it and very laid back about the whole wedding thing, because again, everything is done very, very nicely and tidy over here. So we thought that, okay, since they say that everything is set. But it was not. And I sort of started blaming myself at some point that I should have seen it coming and I should have sort of forecasted this situation,
yeah.
That sort of imagined that, okay, there's going to be something that's going to go wrong because there's going to be some paper missing. And I didn't go through the whole ordeal of checking, because I sort of like placed my trust on them that if it's missing, they're gonna let me know on time. But it was not the case. So yeah, I mean, I feel it's an issue that we face a lot here as foreigners, that we have to sort of double check, always double and triple check that we have everything in order, nothing is missing, and sort of like constantly look behind our back to make sure that we're okay.
And I think that because the system looks so trustworthy and everything seems so clean, it seems so like nothing bad can happen, and it sort of makes you let your guard down.
Yeah, exactly.
And in general, I think Finland makes you let your guard down, and then like something like that happened and you're like, oh, I should have seen it coming, especially for us who are coming from countries where maybe things don't work that well.
Exactly.
We are used to be like
mm-hmm,
this.
Exactly.
But now I think slowly we are getting used to not being like
mm-hmm.
that.
Yeah.
And actually we are worse off now, because I think when you are like coming from another country when everything is bad and nothing really works, you are used to, you know, dealing with that, and it's not a special thing off. It's just, you know, part of the normal bad life there. Where then now it is big deal because you don't expect this from this country.
No, exactly. I mean, don't get me wrong, in 80% of the cases that I had to deal with over here in bureaucracy, it worked out pretty okay. It was much smoother than what I'm used to back home. But in no case, it was as difficult for me to get some stuff done in comparison to Alex, who also has, you know, he's Finnish citizenship and he's already in their records. So it's much more easier for him to get stuff done and doesn't need any extra affirmations.
Yeah. And, you know, and that's the funny thing, because then, for example, you are still in a better position than me, for example. Mm-hmm. Because you have like Alex with you.
The Finnish speaking.
And it sort of pushes you. It sort of pushes you a bit up in the Finnish hierarchy, even though they say there is none.
That's true.
But when it comes to, you know, this hierarchy of bureaucracy, I think you are a bit high above me. Because I don't have the Finnish partner.
That's true. Having a Finnish partner can be, I mean, vital as to how well you're going to adjust or survive. I mean, there are certain stuff even to this day. Because I mean, my Finnish is, it's okay, but when it comes to official documents and official proceedings, of course, I don't trust myself and my knowledge of Finnish yet.
Yeah, I'm the same.
I mean, we do have this sort of silent understanding between us that he's going to be taking care of these official matters because he speaks and manages Finnish. And because, of course, and I'm not sort of, I'm sad to say it, but not afraid to do so. It's always been better when we used Finnish instead of English. The treatment that we got in every single thing, not just official matters, but even just taking your car to get your tires changed, the use of Finnish was sort of pivotal in anything. And we got completely different treatments. So, yeah,
that's funny, isn't it?
Yeah, it's funny, but it's also a bit sad, because to me it sort of shows that even though Finland has been very progressive with using English, and most Finnish people speak excellent English, there's still this sort of how can we say it, sort of like stigma when it comes to Finnish. I feel like if you speak their language, which is normal, I mean, I would say for every country, it's sort of like a huge, huge plus on your side. It's kind of like they see you in a different eye.
Yeah, but exactly. As you said, I like when it comes to that, and you look at it from the perspective of, for example, your own country, in Czech, you would not have much luck with English, to be honest, unless you are in Prague, in the capital city.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
The rest of people, nothing.
Yeah, we have the same issue. And well, not the rest of the people. I feel like because we're a very touristy region, most Greeks would manage to communicate in English. But when it comes to official matters, I definitely think that people struggle a lot in Greece with bureaucracy and such.
I mean, and you have even different alphabet, so that is like a whole different situation.
Yeah, that's a whole different thing. That's true. And everything is slower,
of course. You can't just easily type it into the Google and be like, you know, this is it.
No, no way. But in any case, I think it's just that this sort of story, the moral of the story is that just sort of keep your guard up when, you know, you're still not a Finnish citizen. Just keep checking some minor details every now and then. It doesn't hurt just to be prepared. And it just comes to show that I feel that because Finland gets a lot of attention about being very organized and well-oiled bureaucracy machine, there are glitches. And we should be aware of potential glitches and not sort of like completely let it go and let the chip fall where they may, because there might be surprises.
Yeah, totally. But related to the citizenship, then are you planning still to get the citizenship, the Finnish citizenship?
Oh, yeah.
Is it still on your
list? Oh, for sure. I think I'll try to apply for it this upcoming May. It will be 5 years since I've lived here. This is one of the requirements. Yeah, and then you have to go through this Finnish language test, this ukkitesti, and they check your the level of your Finnish, and if it's acceptable, then you sort of fulfill their requirements, and you can apply and get potentially the Finnish citizenship. I feel like it would sort of make things a lot easier with life.
Yeah, I totally agree. Yeah, I totally agree. I mean, maybe we should sort of try to prepare together for it,
because yeah, I mean,
you know,
I would like that.
I'm basically planning to do the same. Planning to do the same, and I forgot genuinely half of the, like, you know, writing and reading. I don't really do it much, to be honest. Speaking is not a problem.
Yeah,
but
exactly. Writing,
yeah,
and
the other two.
Listening to might be a bit tricky.
I'm quite good, to be honest. I'm worse at speaking than at listening.
Yeah.
I think listening is the best, than speaking, than reading properly, than grammar and stuff. That's going to be the worst.
Yeah, I mean, I sort of, at first when I moved here, I was a bit, I was not so interested in getting the citizenship. But then I started realizing that there were small things like this story, for example.
Like the wedding.
Like the wedding story. But other stuff, like, for example, if you want to get an ID here, and you go to apply to the police for it, an official ID, and with your picture on it and sort of like your information, you would notice that there's this plastic card that comes out, right? And this is your ID. And you show it everywhere, basically, just wherever.
But it has a different color, so it automatically sets you as being foreigner.
Can you believe that? It's ridiculous. Come on, people.
It's like, I'm just showing you right now. You don't even have to see my name, nothing. You just straight away know that I am actually bloody foreigner.
Exactly.
I can speak to you in pure great Finnish or whatever, but it's still going to be there.
Exactly. So, I mean, that's the issue there. You sort of like set the stage for somebody to either, whether they might do it consciously or very willingly, to discriminate against you in a way, you know, well in different levels.
And it's funny because you need the ID.
Yeah,
for example, like nowadays, you need the ID to get the ID code for the bank, right? If you don't have the ID, you're not going to get it now. So you need the ID, actually. It's not like, you know, you can just get by without it.
Yeah, that's the problem.
I mean, it used to be like this, but not anymore.
Yeah, I mean, in my case, what I do to this day, it's just I take my passport everywhere. It's ridiculous carrying your passport everywhere, but
yeah, I have the ID. And to be honest, it's really easy when it comes to picking up stuff from the post.
Sure.
Because you just show your picture. They don't even read it. And then just scan the code.
Yeah.
And there is everything. And it's just fine.
Yeah.
And it makes it way easier because, you know, with my surname, oh, my God. I remember all the time saying the surname and I tried to, you know, spell it in Finnish. And then they were, like, confused. What's this? And then I actually had to show them. And they, you know, anyway, copied it from the ID that I was carrying with. So it made it actually way easier for me just to pick up a parcel.
It's very, very handy to have the ID. But I mean, that was my problem with it, was like the freaking color. Why does it have to be different? Is it, I mean, come on.
I guess some police business, like that policeman straight away see you are not Finnish, but at the same time, why does it matter?
Why does it matter, exactly?
If there is something to deal with, or for like doctors, but if you already have the ID, you probably live here and you have Kela and you know. Yeah, exactly. So it's not like you are just here to visit and you want for free stuff from the country.
Exactly. So that's my point.
Yeah, I don't know.
I mean, there's little stuff like that that sort of annoys me and reminds me of this difference. Of course, every day reminds me of this difference between me as a foreigner and Finnish citizenships, but I guess this sort of makes it worse when it's this subtle issues with official documents and government issues. But yeah.
But I think, you know, it's getting better.
Sure.
And there are many people fighting for it to get better. Yeah. And
if we speak about it,
you know, fingers crossed.
Yeah, exactly. I feel like if we're open about it and we speak about it, and if we have Finnish friends, and we let them know about our daily struggles and the issues that we face and what it comes along with it.
Especially even our podcast, that's why we do that, because stuff like this should be heard. Because as long as they are not heard, they're not going to change. And because not everybody is experiencing this exact thing, they might do in, you know, a few years or a few months or whatever.
Yeah, exactly.
But it's ridiculous, and it should, you know, people should know about this for it to change.
Yeah, I mean, that's the deal. If we talk, then we foster change. So basically that's why I wanted to sort of revisit your podcast and tell my story and let sort of like people know about it, that there's, you know, there's stuff that's happening that might be not as pleasant as we might expect. So
thank you very much for you know, revisiting and being able to share, because not many people as well are that open that they would, you know, share directly their personal stories with
others. That's the tricky part. That's also another sort of tricky issue with being a foreigner here. I feel like everybody sort of expects us to be super duper grateful about everything, and that we are allowed to be here and work here and live here and so on, that we shouldn't even sort of mention these sort of problems and glitches in the system. So our silence is sort of expected. And well, I was really, really annoyed with this particular issue, as you can understand. So I thought, go, what the hell? Let's just get it out in the open.
No, you know what? I think it's fine, because like we are expected to, but at the same time, I don't think none of us came here and had it easy.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, it's not like we just came here, straight away got a job, everything was great, everything was just smooth us. There might be some individuals like that. I'm not saying that not. But what we are hearing around is the opposite of it, that people are struggling. People are struggling and they're fighting to get a job, to live here, to have better future for themselves and their kids, you know. And I don't think I know anybody who really had it super, super easy.
Yeah, that's true. And that's why I feel like if we sort of talk about this stuff and we let it air out, it helps us too, in a way, to feel a bit more heard, a bit more understood, and a part of this community, not just the whole Finnish experience. Because I mean, the good comes along with some bad, of course. I'm not saying that, you know, I didn't have great experiences with bureaucracy here. I mean, they're marvelous stuff, just top-notch bureaucracy. But of course, there are some issues here and there that we should be aware of and take extra care, so that we don't come into surprises like I did.
Yeah, exactly. All right. I think we sort of covered everything related to that. And for our listeners, if you have any stories like that or something similar to weddings, just let us know, and we would like to know about it so we can mention it as well in the future.
Hopefully somebody else didn't have to face this sort of situation. They were proactive about it.
Yeah, hopefully. But even, you know, if you're about to get married, or if you're planning on getting married and one of you is foreigner, or both of you are, just check what is there, and maybe ask about if this is necessary, if you don't have such a paper.
Yeah, and preferably before setting the date. Exactly. All right. Yep. But thank you so much. Thank you for having me. It was really fun again. Hope to see you again soon.
Yeah, I am sure that we're going to find some other topics that we can
hopefully talk about. More positive ones.
Yes, exactly. Exactly, definitely. Yeah, all right.
Thank you so much.
So thank you, Katarina. And let's hear you next week. Bye.